We magnify your name, for the awesome works you've done, and for the gift your only Son. Oh Lord, we magnify your name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Your name.
We magnify your name.
Oh Lord, we magnify your name.
Hallelujah. Awesome to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And in this season, we truly have so much to be thankful for. And continue to be in prayer for our church family that will be traveling this evening and through the course of the week. It's going to be like that for the next month. And we need God to lay his hand on every one of us. Awesome time to be with our families and to plant some seed. And I know many of you have loved ones that you'd love to see filled with the Holy Ghost. And we want to pray for that, that in this season, people's hearts will be opened in ways that they are not in normal run-of-the-mill calendar times. But we're excited for what God is able to do in a celebration season. Psalms 30, and we're going to read verses 11 and 12. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to lean over to somebody by you and tell them, I've got a red hot testimony. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Sister Charlotte, say, you don't know like I know. That's right. What he's done for me. Well, we got to praise him. Psalms 30 and 11, everybody say, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Praise God. Can anybody relate? Say, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. I used to hang out with the dead, but now I'm among the living. I used to live in the hell holes and in the dark places, but now I'm a child of light. Praise God. I gotta give him praise tonight. I was weeping and mourning with them, a tear in my beer and stoning myself every day of my life. But now God has come to rescue me, and he's turned my mourning into gladness. Would you say, to the end, for the purpose thereof, that my glory may sing praise to thee. Praise God. And not be silent. The reason that he's delivered me is so that my glory can praise him and not be silent. And would you say, oh Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Come on now, I'm not going to have a day off. I'm not going to have a bad season. Circumstances won't rob me of this. Conditions of life won't strip me of this praise. Nobody can offend me to the place where I'm going to stop praising God. Come on now, don't say this if it's not sure and true in your life. But everybody say, he turned my mourning into dancing. He turned my sackcloth into gladness so that my glory can praise him and not be silent. God bless you. Be seated and clap your hands and lift your voice and let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Let's give him high praise. Come on. Loud praise. High praise. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Why not? Why not have a demonstration about his goodness? Why not invoke his name with passion? My God. There are a million voices. There's a cacophony going on in our world. Voices for every cause under the sun, for every celebrity on the face of the earth. There needs to be, there must be, there has to be, there shall be a voice of praise for this name of Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Psalms 29 and 1. And David said, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give the Lord glory and strength. He said, I don't diminish your strength. And I'm not saying that God can't use the mighty. And I'm not saying you've got to be broke or broken or downcast or blasted or ruined or shipwrecked to give praise to God. He said, come on, let the mighty give praise to God. Let somebody that's set up and strong give praise unto God. Give God glory and strength. Now, you can't add anything to God because God's all in all. He's got everything he needs and he's God all by himself. Doesn't need anything added from me or from you. But when we give God glory, we're enhancing God in those that are around us and in our own mind. When we give him honor, we're magnifying and praising him. When we give him strength, we're not adding to his inherent strength. What we're doing is we're calling on the name of God and praising him and worshiping him and adding strength to the cause of God in this earth. We are his people. We are his spokespersons. We are his advocate in this earth. We are the voice for God in Alabama and in Birmingham, Alabama. And if we don't praise him, nobody else is going to praise him. If we don't lift him up, nobody else is going to lift him up. David said, give it up. The NIV says, ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Everybody say it's his due. God is due glory. You got to understand this. There are angelic creatures in the presence of God all day long, 24 hours, and they are crying, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. They're praising him nonstop. God's got praise going up nonstop. He's due glory. He's due honor. He's due some praise. David said, give him what he's due. Now, in 3 through 11, and we won't read it tonight, chapter 29, David just goes off on a tirade and talks about how awesome and how powerful and how mighty and how incredible God is. And anybody that finds him to be all those things, say amen. Somebody that's found God to be every bit of that and some more, you give him some praise right now and say amen. Praise God. Praise God. My God, he's everything David said that he is. The voice of the Lord is on the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. He said he shakes the whole world. What a God. What an incredible God. Don't you let the devil or people or circumstances or anything box you into the place where you think you've got a little dried up, feeble, frail, dusty, dead God. But you need to blow open the expansiveness of your praise and you need to begin to brag on him. You need to begin to boast on him. You need to begin to talk about how good he is and give him the glory and the honor that he is due. The bartender's not going to give it to him. The drug dealer's not going to give it to him. The man on the street's not going to give it to him. But God is due some praise. Now it ought to be your heavenly civic responsibility to open up your mouth and give God some praise. You ought to take it personally. Praise God. Psalms 30. David said, I will extol thee, O Lord. But thou hast lifted me up. He's talking about his testimony. I'm going to praise him because he's great, Psalms 29. I'm going to praise him in Psalms 30 because he's delivered me. He's lifted me up. I was in a place I couldn't get out of, but God has lifted me up. He said, I'm going to extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Is there a witness in the house? Has God lifted anybody else up in this house beside David? Is there anybody that can say I was? Yes, some of you have already forgotten. You've forgotten what it was like, and now it's maybe just casual to you, but no. David said, I'm going to extol you, O God, because you've lifted me up. You know, the devil's going to sit down right beside you or sit on your lap and say, oh, yeah, but what has he done for you lately? What has he done for you lately? Yeah, I mean, you praised him a lot back then, but I mean, is God keeping up on his end of the bargain? Listen, somebody said it this morning, and it's true, or Adrian said it tonight. If he never blesses me again, he's still worthy of all the praise. My God, my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You can't get any more in debt than that. I owe him. I am indebted to him for eternity. And he's due the glory and the honor. I'll extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. God controls my enemies. God has power over all of my enemies. Somebody say it with your mouth. God has control over all of my enemies. Praise God. David said, O Lord, my God, I cried unto you and you have healed me. O Lord, has anybody in this house been healed? Do you remember a night when you were burning up with fever, but the hand of God came down on your head? Do you remember when you were sick in your body and you couldn't get up and you couldn't go, and God laid his hand on you and healed you? My God, what an awesome God. Do you know what it cost him to do that? They tied his hands to a whipping post. He knelt down in front of a pagan Roman soldier and they tore his back to shreds, so that your healing would come to you 2,000 years later. I've got a debt tonight. I need to praise him. I need to magnify him. I need to give him glory and honor and extol him. I need to talk about how good he is. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. He saved me from my foes. And David begins to tell the story, and in the second verse through the 10th verse, he tells the story. And we've all got a story here tonight. We listened to Brother John Wolfram's testimony the other morning. We saw four beautiful souls come down and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they went down in the water in Jesus' name. And it was awesome to hear his testimony. But you know what? Everybody in this house has a testimony. If he brought you out of sin, you got an awesome testimony. If he's kept you in the palm of his hand and you've never been to the bar room and you've never done the drugs and you've never smoked and you've never run around, my God, that's even a more incredible testimony. Everybody's got a testimony. Everybody's in the kingdom of God has a story to tell and a testimony to talk about. Praise God. Has anybody in this house got a testimony? You've got a story to tell? My God, when I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness, my God, I remember the very night he set me free. Something begins to move on me. I want to dance. I want to shout when I think about what he's done for me. Do you have a testimony? Did God deliver you? Where were you when he found you? Where would you be? I could phrase it that way. Where would you be right now if it hadn't been for God? Where would you be right now if it hadn't been for mercy knocking on your door? Where would you be right now if it hadn't been for that witness that you received? Or that service when the preacher touched your heart? Or that time when the Bible study opened up in your house? My God, where would you be? I've got a lot to thank him for. I've got a lot to praise him for. Don't tell me not to praise him. Don't tell me not to shout in a service. Don't tell me not to dance. Don't tell me not to run. Don't tell me to sit down and shut up. Don't tell me I act too much. Don't tell me I clap too much. Don't tell me it's too loud in here. I want you to know God is worthy of all the honor and the glory. God is worthy. Somebody shout, God is worthy. My God, my God. Shake your neighbor and tell him, you don't know like I know what is done for me. Tell him, you can't tell it like I can what is done for me. Praise the Lord. Mother Riggs, you got a testimony tonight. Has God walked with you a mighty long way? My God, you got little Riggs sitting on the seats tonight in this house. Somebody had a towering testimony, and it's not only for those that walk in it, but it's for the generations that come. It's not only for that one that's loving it and experiencing it, but it's for all those that it's going to touch on the job and in the school and in the streets of the city. Your testimony is a powerful thing. I would say more than anything you could say, your testimony has greater power. Some of you feel like your testimony's not worth talking about. It's not exciting enough, or it's not sensational enough. There's no sensation greater than God redeeming a soul. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Brother Sutton. We're half strength tonight. Oh, but we're going to praise him. Come on, I'm OD'd on turkey and chocolate pie. Yeah, but we're going to praise him. Come on, it's a holiday season. We need to take a little time off. I can't take time off from magnifying God because he's worthy all the time. He's worthy all the time. Praise God. David said he's turned my mourning into dancing. Ah, God. I used to hang around the water cooler like y'all, and gripe and mourn and complain. People that have been redeemed by God, they used to talk about their old lady or their old man. But now they talk about their precious wife, their precious husband. Praise God. It changes your life. It changes your mourning into dancing. Praise God. He said he gave me gladness for my sackcloth. I was in a pitiful situation. And God gave me a new garment of gladness to wear. Verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee, I will give thanks unto thee forever. To the end that my glory might sing praise unto thee and not be silent. God's done this for me so that that glory, whatever meager glory I have, I want to take it like that alabaster box and I want to break it. And I want to pour it out for his benefit and for his blessing. Can you say praise the Lord? You may not have much, but when you put it in the master's hand, it may not amount to much to those around you. But when you break it in his presence, it may not be something people are impressed with. But if you take what you have and you offer it up to him, it gives him glory and honor. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now the enemy wants to shut your mouth. Job 1 and 2. And the devil told God, he said, you let me touch his life, I'll make him curse you to your face. Chapter 2. You let me touch his body, I'll make him curse you to your face. God is looking for glory. And it's our responsibility to give that. The devil hates it when you glorify God. He wants to sit above the sides of the north. He wants to have the throne of God. He will sit as the Antichrist on the throne in the holy place in Jerusalem, showing himself. Paul said that he is in fact God. And what does he want? He wants praise. What did he tell Jesus? Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of it. What does he want? He wants your praise. If he can't stop you from praising God, he wants you to redirect your praise toward him and those things that are relevant to him. Praise God. The devil wants to stop your praise. The Saul in your life wants to stop your praise. David, by power, came into that court of Saul, and by praising and magnifying God, drove the demonic presence out of that king's life. But that same spirit came on Saul in jealousy and hatred, and he said, I'm going to stop that praising. I'm going to stop that foolishness. And he hurls a javelin at him, because your praise and your testimony threatens to unseat the God of this world. Your praise and your honoring God and your worship before God unseats the illegal, illegitimate God of this world in your life and in the lives of those around you. And he hates it, and he's going to be hurling a javelin at you. He wants to shut your mouth. You read the latter chapters of the book of John, and you'll find that the Pharisees not only wanted to kill Jesus, but they consulted together as to how they might kill Lazarus too, because there were a lot of people being influenced and being converted by the testimony of the man Lazarus, who Jesus had raised from the dead. He wants to shut up your testimony. He wants to make you be quiet about this business. He doesn't care if you have your own little experience, dead, dull, and dry, and plucked up by the roots, but you just don't share it with anybody. You don't talk about it. You don't tell about it. And then you're impotent, and you're empty, and you're vapid, and you're without any consequence in the action, in the drama of this life. You've got a testimony, but if you choke it down and he shuts it up, and you're intimidated by the pressure or by the javelins or by the circumstance, and he can steal your praise and steal your testimony, he's accomplished what he wanted. When they hit the streets, they began to preach immediately that Jesus was the Christ. Pentecost exploded all over Jerusalem, and they began to testify. And in chapter 4, the Pharisees got them in there, and they said, listen, we see something moving in this city that we hate. We see something competing for our place here. And what we've got to tell you is that you've got to stop testifying. You've got to stop preaching in that name. I don't care what else you do here, but just stop talking about that name. Stop telling about that Jesus. Quit talking to people about that Jesus. I want you to know there are people in this city, and they would come tonight if they could hear about Jesus. If they could hear it from somebody that could say, listen, I know you've heard it before, but let me tell you from the horse's mouth. I was in need, and he met my need. I was in a pit, and he lifted me up. I was a drunk, and he delivered me. I was sick, and he healed me. My marriage was on the rocks, and he put us back together again. I've got a testimony to tell you about right now. But I want you to know all the world and all of hell is standing up tonight and just wants to woo you to sleep. Get your mind on the job and not on Jesus. Get your mind on the money and not on your testimony. Get your mind on the trouble and not on evangelism. Get your mind on everything else, but just shut up about that Jesus. But somehow I've got to break out and break through all of that nonsense, and I've got to find somebody to tell about this God that's been so good to me. Clap your hands, lift your voice, and magnify him tonight. Is he good? Is he worthy? Give him the honor and the glory that he's due tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. The flesh competes for your testimony. The flesh wants to venerate everything that's carnal and everything natural. The flesh has its own stars. The flesh wants you to be excited about its music stars and about its sports stars and about, oh yeah, he wants to hear you talking about their latest exploits. He wants you to be on the job talking about Terrell Owens instead of talking about Jesus Christ. He wants you to be on the job talking about Alabama and Auburn instead of talking about Jesus Christ. He wants you to be down in the street talking about the movie stars. My God, you can't check out a Walmart or you can't check out a Winn-Dixie or anywhere without 15 different magazines, and they all got the most beautiful people in the world. The last one I saw, the sexiest man alive. It's the veneration of the flesh. Let me tell you what, the sexiest man alive is going to die. The sexiest man is going to get saggy and baggy and old and wrinkled and worn, and he's going to slip off like, but there is a man you do need to know. There is a man that you need to know. The Bible said he is the lover of your soul. You need to get your sights up a little bit out of the world and out of the gutter and off of those things and onto the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible says I can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I look at all those folks every time I check out. I never have seen the glory of God, but let me direct you to one who is the image of the invisible God. My God, have you seen him? God, look in that face and see the power and the glory of God. Praise God. The flesh wants you to venerate the flesh and celebrate the accomplishments and revel in the success story and count all the money and the notches on your success belt. And as you climb the ladder and walk over the bodies of others, he wants you to put that first and foremost in your mind and in your thinking, that you succeed in the natural, and that somebody will look at your flesh and say, that is a successful man, that is a successful woman. The flesh competes with God for that honor and that glory that is due only God. God. Brother Wayne Huntley preaches a powerful message, and he takes his text out of Genesis 22 when Abram takes Isaac up on the mountain of sacrifice, and he tells him the most unbelievable thing. God tells Abram, I want you to take your son, your only son whom thou lovest. I want you to take Isaac to the top of the mountain that I'll show you, and I want you to plunge a knife, offer him up as a sacrifice unto me. And Abraham at this time is a changed man. He has seen the birth of Isaac. He has seen Sarah rejuvenated. He's seen her womb opened up, and now he's unshakable. No more going down to Egypt. No more going into Hagar. But he gets his knife and gets his boy and takes off to the mountain, and he's going to lift up that knife and plunge it into his heart. The book of Hebrews gives us the philosophy or the theology of it. Abraham believed that God was able to raise him up from the dead, because God had said two things that were not congruent. He said, one, the promise is going to be in Isaac. And the other was, I want you to offer Isaac up as a sacrifice. Abraham said, it's too great for me. It's too phenomenal for me. I can't understand it. I'm just going to do what God told me to do, and I'm going to let God sort out all the details. But as he raises the knife, the angel says, no, don't do it. He said, now I know. Now I know that you love me. And Brother Huntley takes that and says, all of the nations offered their children as sacrifices. All of the heathen offered their children as sacrifices. God has never countenanced that or never would. But he asked Abraham for the express purpose of saying, do you love me as much as the heathen loves his God? Do you worship me as much as the heathen worships his God? Do you care about me like the heathen cares about his God? My God, tonight I want to be able to hear that question, and I want to be able to look at him, and I want to say, whatever they do, we'll do it greater and with greater energy and with more sacrifice. Whatever they give, we'll give more. Whatever they pay, we'll pay more. However intense they are, we'll be all the more intense. Can you hear this tonight? Can you receive this tonight? They're in their stadiums, and they pay, I don't know what they pay for a ticket these days, and they go there and they spend the whole day, and they sit in snowstorms and in hail and in sleet and in inclement weather. But man, it's just their God. It's their ball game. They love it. But the house of God is full of murmurers and complainers that come to the house of God. And my God, I'm so inconvenienced to be here for an hour. Or my God, I'm so inconvenienced to lift my hand and worship God. Or my God, I wish they'd make it a little warmer in here. I wish they'd make it a little bit colder in here. Or I wish they'd change the climate or the sound or something just a little bit in here. Don't you hear what you're saying? You're saying that there's a world full of pagans that love their sports gods and love their gods more than you love your God. It's a onerous thing for you to come to the house of God. My God, it doesn't need to be that way. You need to be up bright and early on Sunday morning going to the house of God. You need to be up bright and ready on a Sunday night and on a Wednesday night. And you need to be ready to be in the house of God. And when it's time to go to work, it doesn't stop there. They're all ganged up talking about what they love. And you walk in the middle and say, I got something greater than all of that. You're talking about a man that passes for 350 yards. Let me tell you about a God that can make you live forever. Let me tell you about a God that can take all your sins away. Does anybody have a testimony tonight? The world wants to shut you up. The world wants to take him out of the schools. They want to revise history, take him out of the history books and out of the tapestry of this great nation. The world wants to cause every mouth of testimony to be closed. They want to take him out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They want to sit activist judges on benches and change the rule and the law of the land so that you don't have the liberty to worship God the way that you want to or that you need to. The world says, hush, all this God business. Be quiet. all this testimony. They don't want a nativity scene in the town square because they want people to forget that there was a night 2,000 years ago where God gave the greatest gift that anybody ever received. And a little baby boy was born, and it was God himself that was robed in flesh. They don't want that little nativity scene out there in the square. They don't want, don't make any mistake about it. It's not about respect for other people's rights. Have you noticed how lopsided this argument is and how lopsided this fight is? They're not worried about the Muslims or the Buddhists or the Hindus or anybody else. All they're worried about is getting God and getting that name of Jesus out of here. Let's call it Happy Holidays. Let's don't call it Happy Christmas. They want to take Christ out of that. I want you to know, I know they're a million miles away, but at least they've got some vestigial structures that speak the name of Christ or of Jesus. But they're trying to make all of that disappear. Winter vacation instead of Christmas vacation. Because they want to shut you up. They want to close down the whole discussion of Jesus. Praise God. I want you to get a little bit of attitude now and push your neighbor a little bit and tell him, I'm going to talk about him. I'm going to give him glory. My God, is there anybody here who's going to tell about it, sing about it, shout about it, talk about it? Everything around you wants you to shut your mouth. But I read in the Word of God where we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We have been called to be a holy nation. We are a peculiar people that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. What's my purpose? My purpose is to praise him. What's my mission? My mission is to lift him. I want to give him the glory and the honor that he is due. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. He's left it in the hands of the church. And he's given us a mission. Born in Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Help me, Lindsay. And you shall be witnesses unto my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Praise God. David said, so that my glory shall sing praise unto you, and be not silent. Praise God. Do you understand this? And does it register with you? Do you understand that the greater glory you have, the greater glory you can give him? There's nothing wrong with you becoming wealthy, but stand on top of that wealth and give praise and honor and glory to God. There's nothing wrong with you being successful, but get up on top of that success and give praise and honor and glory to God. The more power you have in a secular sense, in a worldly sense, in a financial sense, the more power you have to touch and impress and influence people for the cause of God. You say what you want to say about it, but make all you can, get all you can, do all you can. But after it's done, step up on top of it and say, I built this for the glory of God. I made this for the glory of God. Help me now. Does anybody have a testimony? Does anybody want to give glory to God?
Glory to God. You know, there's no other like this God. This God, when he woos you and he comes into your life, he changes you, changes your desires. He takes care of you. There's nobody like him. There's nobody in the universe like God. God is our keeper. He's our healer. He's our provider. There's not anything hard for him. You know, we pray and we pray expectantly, and God just thinks it into existence. He speaks it into existence. And I just praise him and I love him tonight. And I'm just so thankful that he's let me be a part of his kingdom. Amen. And I'm so thankful that he's able to keep those that he changes and brings into the kingdom. And I praise him tonight.
Praise God. Does anybody have a testimony? I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole.
Praise the Lord tonight, saints. Amen. I'm just filled with joy. The word of the Lord is rich tonight. It's rich in my heart. And amen. The pastor gave the mic to my son to testify. And amen. I think about how old he was when we came and we lived for God. And he sat down at the end of the pews and he raised his hand. And at that time, they were having church a certain way. And Brother Sutton asked him to sing a song. And that's been going through my mind. He started singing. He said, I got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk. It makes the blind to see. It was a song that we sung, amen, when we were young in God. And I just thought about that, and that came down on me. Amen, my kids are in the house of God. They living for God. And boy, mighty God, hallelujah. That did everything for me, because God is real. God is constantly here. He's constantly talking. He's constantly pushing us forward. He's constantly forgiving our sins. And he's just awesome. I just thank the Lord for everything that he's done for me. And God just, oh, I wish I could put it in words. Sometimes I just can't explain the goodness of the Lord, because it's so rich. It's so good. And God, he's just, he's my all. He's everything to me. I thank the Lord for that tonight. Amen.
Praise God. Shake your neighbor. Tell him, I've got a testimony.
Praise the Lord. I was reading in Psalms today, and it was talking about my soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for God. And I was in the dry and weary land, and somebody said, hey, you want to come to my church? Hey, do you want a Bible study? I know some people that live in Huntsville, and I just praise God. I remember it. It's 2 years ago this Wednesday that I went down in the water in Jesus' name, and I just praise God. He's awesome.
Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, I remember when Sister Lisa Riggs got the Holy Ghost. She'd been seeking for the Holy Ghost for 7 years. It may not be a world record, but it was sure disturbing to me.
I just praise the Lord. He's been such a faithful God to me. And I just, if I could just read this psalm, this I found myself in the Psalms, and it's just been so special to me. Psalms 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And this is me. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And then the song we sing, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And I just, I love the verse that those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And I had a hunger for God. Anytime anybody had anything to say to me about God, I just wanted to hear anything that anybody could tell me about God. I was just so hungry for as long as I could remember. And God has been faithful, and he's brought me to a city of habitation. And I'm just going to praise him all the days of my life.
I thank the Lord tonight because he's been good to me. So many years I've served him, and he gets sweeter and better every day. And I love the Lord for that. He is good to me, and I can't forget what all he has done for me. And I thank him tonight. I praise him with all my heart, because he is a wonderful, he is a mighty God, and I love him for it. I thank him for it. I don't want to never forget where he's gone. done for me, and I love it more every day.
Praise the Lord. I do have a testimony, and I thank God for saving me and my family. I thank God that 17 years ago, well, more than that, when I was growing up, I was going to another church, and I said, when I grow up, I'm gonna find me a church, because I had never been to but one or two churches. And I thank God for having my cousin come over and witness to me and just befriend me. She didn't push church on me. She just came and said, let's go to breakfast, and that just started something. And I went with her for a year before I even considered getting the Holy Ghost or anything. Once I got the Holy Ghost, I started going with her, and we went 3 or 4 times a week. We just wanted the things of God. And my mama used to say, y'all just gonna roll the wheels out of the car. Y'all go to church too much. And I just thank God, because I could have been going to the club. I could have been doing a lot of things. But I thank God for giving me the mind to want to do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And to bring my kids up in the things of God. One day, Twan was sick. He was little. I just had Twan, and he had a fever, and he was sick. And she said, I know you're not going to take that baby to church. And I said, yes, I am, because that's where he need to be. If he's sick, he need to go and get prayer. And I just thank God for that. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, I just thank God for so much. He's been so good to me. I remember it was 8 years ago, and seeking God, fasting, and he brought a guy from the church, people know, Brother Mike Landry, and witnessed to me, and it's been uphill ever since. He's been so good to me. He's been spectacular to me. He's just brought me a long way, and I thank God so much for his mercy and his grace, and he's shown me revival around him so much, and I love him. I praise his name. He's been just spectacular. It's been revival. He's been healing in my family. I've healed my granddaughter from cancer. I had no witness about it or told anybody. But I got my youngest granddaughter, she's 3 now, but a year and a half ago, the doctors told us that they would have to amputate a leg. And they called me at work and said, Pop, Granddad, we need to pray. And so we went to the hospital at the Children's, and we prayed, and it's been a year and a half ago, and she's running around now, and the doctor's like, we don't know what's going on, but nothing's wrong. And that's been a year and a half. And Thursday night, we had Thanksgiving, we had a dinner. My oldest daughter, Latoura, came here, and she was running around, and I was telling my wife, Amanda, I said, look at her. She just smiled. I said, what the doc said? So, well, she's been going, because she's doing great. And I'm like, man, God is so good, isn't he? She says, yes. And he's so good. And even though I messed up a lot all of a sudden, and he's still been good. He's still been just wonderful. He's been a healer. He's shown revival to me so many times. And I just love him and appreciate him. And he's going to do even more. And I just love him and thank him for everything.
Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Why don't you stand and come down around this altar tonight? When you pass somebody there, just tell them, I've got a testimony. I've got a testimony. Whatever glory I have, I'm going to stand on it and give glory to God. Step up on those first few steps here. If you're first, come up on those steps. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to somebody right by and tell them something God's done for you. Tell them the goodness of God. Tell them how he found you. Tell them how he redeemed you.
As I look back over my life, can I beat things up? I can truly say,
I can truly say
that I've been blessed. I've got a
out his hand and shout a little bit. Just go ahead and worship a little bit. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand. Praise of worship. Let's bless and magnify his name. Praise God. I remember a few years ago, Rick Kerb started coming to church. And the only experience he had ever had was as a Jehovah's Witness. And he was just hard as he could be. And we'd try to talk to him, and I'd preach to him, and you'd sing to him, and you'd worship around him, and he was just hard as he could be. But there was a night on our 10th anniversary that we did a slide presentation of before and after pictures. And we had old Brother Larry and Sister Danette before, and they had their beer bottles, and they had their worldly attitude and all, and then we'd have them come up and stand. And we did that with about 15 of you guys. And as we were doing that, something began to move on his heart. Something he had never seen before, never felt before. And he was a changed man. After that night, the Bible study opened up. He was wide open. He came, got the Holy Ghost. He got baptized in Jesus' name. But it was somebody's testimony that had moved him. It was somebody's experience that had moved him. I want you to know that the most powerful thing you can do in the kingdom of God is share your testimony with somebody. What God has done for you. Somebody say praise the Lord. It is so good to be with you in the house of the Lord. Before we go tonight, lay a hand on somebody right there by you and pray for them that their testimony be anointed and powerful, that they would have an unction in the Holy Ghost to tell everybody.